It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening, 5 p.m. Central Time, and that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And a link to the podcast, along with any website links that my guests talk about this evening, will be posted later tonight. And you can also hear the podcast as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information about previous shows, and to listen to previous shows and updates about upcoming shows, again, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And also follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. If you follow me on Facebook, you'll get all the latest updates, and you'll be able to read my blogs and Huffington Post, as well as find out when we're going live on our new Roku station. So you want to do that. Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years on Facebook. If you want to contact me, you can email me at Dr. Mara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, or go through my website. Give me a call, 512-626-6973. This evening's program is sponsored by Compass Entertainment Postal Production, produced by Compass Entertainment Postal Productions and Spiked Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVeer, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVeer at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can email him at rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com, and his book is also available on Amazon. This evening's program is also sponsored by the bra lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. This evening's program is also sponsored by Storyhouse. Storyhouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have Storyhouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. Storyhouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. And today is Sunday, July the 10th, and we are back live in beautiful, hot Austin, Texas. And I hope you're all staying cool wherever you are. We're trying to. And this evening, Art Mendoza of Acompos Entertainment, producer of this program, is with us to do the production engineering for the show. And he'll be answering your calls if you call later with questions. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, practicing right here in Austin, Texas, and in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, and I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers, and for the past few years have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And most recently, my office has been in the amazing Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And this is really a wonderful resource for veterans and for veterans' families. And it runs on volunteers and donations. And if you want to find out more about this great place, go to heroesnightout.org. All right, we have another great show lined up for you. And I'm really excited because joining us once again from the New York metropolitan area, writer, speaker, wellness coach, yoga coach, and really pretty much a rock star of the mind-body wellness world, Quentin Denny, will discuss how we can each transform our lives to overcome obstacles to achieve mind and body well-being. And more specifically, he's going to talk about the benefits of exercise for mood. And later in the program, jazz saxophone player Paul Klemperer will be back to join us, some of his original music. And Laura Galazunas will report in once again from the retirement paradise south of the border, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And I'm going to talk about how to love ourselves a little more. And throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. And my email address, Dr. Mara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmaracartel.com. And you can also tweet me at M-A-R-A-E-K. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. And after we come back, Quentin Denny is going to join us. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. Available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaracarpel.com.
And we're back. And if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpel.com. And now joining us once again from the New York metropolitan area, writer, speaker, wellness coach, yoga coach, Quentin Denny is joining us to talk about moving our body to feel better. So, Quentin, are you there?
I am here.
All right. Just a reminder, there's a slight delay when we talk like this.
Right. Correct.
So how have you been? It looks like you've been up to a lot of really exciting things.
Well, thank you so much. Things have been going well. No complaints, you know, continuing to push forward and spread the word of, you know, for mental health and working to end the stigma that's associated with it. you know. So that's really the goal. That's been the plan.
That's great. That's a great goal. So maybe for listeners who haven't heard you before on this program or haven't read your great blogs, maybe you can fill them in a little bit about your background.
Sure. Well, I was born in Baltimore, Maryland. Was originally diagnosed with anxiety and depression at 14. Subsequently went through the remainder of my life up to about 27, you know, having no real issues. I was 27, was then diagnosed with generalized anxiety and panic disorder, was given a prescription as the only means of treatment for my anxiety and panic disorder. I was told by my doctor that my disorder was so severe I'd need to be on medication for the remainder of my life if I wanted to live a normal life, a normal existence. I believed him. You know, things seemed to be going well. I was taking my medication the way I was supposed to, and then I had an accidental overdose. It was shortly after that I realized that, you know, I had a serious problem. I went on a very downward spiral, dealt with, you know, severe depression, became addicted to my anxiety medication, and, you know, when I finally hit rock bottom, you know, I had a failed suicide attempt, and it was at that point that I realized that I needed to make a change. You know, I understood the day that I went to take my life, I reevaluated and found value in it. And I went on a journey, so to speak, to find healing for not only my addiction, but to better manage my anxiety disorder. And I do that through what I consider my trinity of wellness, which is yoga, meditation, and fruit and vegetable juicing. I started writing about that about three years ago, telling that story, really just sharing my story, sharing my experiences, and I am here today.
And we are really glad that you're here today.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, you know, you've been on the show several times before, and I want to tell you, you know, it's been so great that I've quoted you in some of my own blogs on Huffington Post.
Thank you.
Because you've said such really important things. And, you know, we've talked about the juicing before, and we've talked about, you know, some of the other things that you were doing, but I thought it might be a really good idea to talk about exercise. And how exercise and moving our body helps with anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
how does it?
I think it's beneficial because, you know, especially for people who deal with, like, this is, I look at things in a certain kind of context. So I look at depression as something that resides in the past, and anxiety is something that resides in the future. But if we can find the time or the ability to maximize our present moment, then we've just defeated both of those things. And I think movement in particular, whether it's exercise, going for a hike, a walk, bike riding, yoga, you know, martial arts, whatever it is, it gives us something to focus our attention on. It gives us a reason to remain present. Not only is it doing, you know, amazing things for our bodies and our self-confidence and our awareness, but it's also helping to strengthen, you know, it's helping to strengthen our minds while keeping us in the present moment. So in those moments of physical activity, generally we're not focused on the problems. We're not focused on the things that, you know, that make us feel uncomfortable or that give us, you know, any kind of pain, whether mentally or physically. You know, we're focused specifically on the task at hand.
Right. So in that way, it's kind of like a meditation.
It's a moving meditation in a lot of ways. You know, a lot of people think in order for you to meditate, you have to sit, you know, with Indian style, you know, with your index finger and your thumb clamped together, you know, with your eyes closed. And I think that's the furthest thing from the truth. The intention of meditation isn't to clear your mind, but it's to gain control over it. And I think you can do that in so many different ways. You don't have to deduce yourself to what you find on Google.
And you know, I find that if I'm upset about something and I'm thinking about it when I start exercising, you know, and for a while I'm still thinking about what I'm upset about, after a while it kind of goes away, right? Does that happen for you?
Absolutely. It happens to me, for me all the time, because, you know, anger, frustration, anxiety, depression, these thoughts are energies, right? And you know, we know energy is neither lost nor destroyed. It's merely transformed from one party to the next. So if we can find something constructive to do with that energy, something positive, something that's actually going to benefit us in some kind of way, then, again, we've just found a constructive way to fight the fight, to win the battle. You know, so if you're angry or frustrated about something and you take it out in the gym, on the treadmill, on the elliptical, or you're going to a boot camp and you take it out on a jump rope or some dumbbells, you know, you're doing something that's benefiting you in so many different ways. And then when it's all said and done, you feel so amazing at the end, you're often left to wonder, what were you so upset about in the first place? I was just having this conversation. This, you know, life, I truly believe that life is, you know, 10% what happens to us, 90% how we react to it. So if we can take that reactive energy and put it into something constructive, you know, then we're constantly moving forward. We're constantly progressing. And
mm-hmm.
that's what we want.
And it gets rid of all those stress hormones too, right? Because we're working them out.
Yeah, it boosts, you know, those happy hormones, you know, those happy
mm-hmm.
chemicals, you know, in the brain and in the body. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm no doctor, so I can't go into the specifics about it, but, you know, it's been proven, you know, that, you know, there is a connection with the activities that you do on a day-to-day basis and the mood you ultimately have, you know, throughout the day. So, you know, you have a lot of people that might live very hectic lives who will go to the gym first thing in the morning because that's setting the tone for the day, you know, physically and mentally, so they can go throughout their day, you know, prepared and ready to deal with whatever stress, drama, you know, or whatever may
mm-hmm.
come, you know, that's unfavorable. So it really sets you up for a win.
So let me ask you a personal question. What exercise do you do?
I love weightlifting. I love
mm-hmm.
yoga, and I love boxing. And I
okay.
love to ride my bike. Yeah, I ride my bike. I try to get out as often as possible. But those are the four activities: yoga, weightlifting, bike riding, and boxing. Those are my go-tos.
Mm-hmm. So if you do one of the other exercises, do yoga in the same day, do you consider that like something that you would, that's your exercise for the day, or would you do that in addition to the other exercises?
It really depends on what I'm looking to accomplish. You know, sometimes I'll wake up, especially on weekends, you know, when I have a little bit more free time, and I'll wake up and do a 15 to 20 minute, you know, yoga sequence just for myself, just for my body, to kind of warm myself up, to get myself ready for the day. And then still, you know, could potentially go and, you know, do a boxing class, or, you know, go lift weights. The only time that, you know, I really, like, I'll do yoga and use yoga as my exercise if I go to a studio and I'm literally working out for like an hour and 15 minutes. You know, something
mm-hmm.
like that, you know, going to like a power class, or, you know, I go to Strala and she has a class that's called Strong, you know, which is Strala's version of a power class. Those are the only ways that I'll, you know, just kind of lock myself in and let yoga be that physical activity for the day.
So how often would you recommend that people do strenuous exercises?
Well, again, it really depends on what they're trying to get across. If you're doing something physically strenuous, I'd say 3 times a week is ideal. But I think it's important not only for your physical health but for your mental health to do some form of physical activity every day. You know, I don't think a day should be wasted, you know. And it could be as simple as just going out to your local park, you know, and just walking around. You don't need to you know, track your mileage. You don't need to, you know, necessarily challenge yourself and get so wrapped up in the data of it. But, you know, just kind of getting out and enjoying, you know, the day. I mean, you know, if you have great weather, then get out and enjoy it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to, you know, like structure it in a way where it's like, I have to burn 1,500 calories in 2 hours. And, you know, like I think we kind of get ourselves lost, you know, when we get caught up in the statistics and the data and the numbers and, you know, and we take the pleasure and enjoyment out of physical activity.
Mhm, mhm, and it seems like that also causes anxiety.
Exactly. I would have to agree, because now you're anxious about the desired result. I tell people all the time, if you find something that you genuinely enjoy, just do it, right? Let everything else be, let the six-pack be a direct result of the enjoyable, pleasurable things that you've experienced in your life. Don't consume
mm-hmm.
yourself with the six-pack, because then you'll give yourself additional stress. That stress will start to, you know, break down certain foods, and it won't utilize it for energy. It'll store it as fat deposits, because we know that stress can lead to weight gain. It can cause you to kind of lose focus and lose hope in attaining that specific goal, so on and so forth. So I say, you know, go out there and just have a good time and enjoy your life. Being healthy and being happy doesn't have to be a job. You know, it's something that you can actually just enjoy doing. You know, and that's what I try to promote more so than the six pack, you know, or the you know, or the chiseled chest.
Mhm, mhm. Right, and I did read one of your blogs where you talked about the dangers of overtraining.
Mhm. Yeah, I think a lot of people miss. You know, they feel like, oh, if I go to the gym 3 times a day, then you know I'm going to reach my goal a lot faster. You know, two rules for that, in my opinion. You know, first rule, especially if you're trying to achieve anything with your physique, you can't outwork a bad diet. So it doesn't matter how many times you go to the gym. If your diet stinks, you're going to constantly get the same results. But then you can overtrain to the point where, you know, you're doing a little bit too much. Now, instead of you building the muscle, you're damaging the muscle, you're damaging the joints, you know, and you're doing the complete opposite. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I when it comes to exercise or really anything, I always say, you know, do what you can, do what you enjoy, and maybe once or twice a week you might do something that challenges you a little bit. But you can always find the enjoyment in a challenge. You know, I've been doing yoga for 6-7 years now, and I still can't do a handstand. You know, and I have tendonitis in my right wrist from an injury that I experienced when I was in middle school, and it makes it a lot more challenging for me to get to that. But if I focused on the goal of I have to get this handstand, I would lose focus in the journey, and it would not be pleasurable for me. So, you know, I can
mm-hmm.
still challenge myself with trying to get into the handstand, but still, you know, enjoy the process and enjoy the journey along the way.
Right, right. That, I mean, I've noticed, you know, I joined the gym and was going, I discovered that I could run again. I had stopped for a while because of a back injury for a long time. And I found that I could run again, but I started doing it every day and discovered at 53, when I started doing this, years old, that it became more and more painful to run every day. And I started feeling stressed about it. My knees were hurting. But now when I skip a day or two in between and do like an hour of yoga or some other form of exercise, and when I go back, I don't have that pain and I actually enjoy it.
Right,
mm-hmm.
exactly. You know, because you're overworking it. You know, your body is, it needs time to heal. You know, I mean, it's no different than if you fell and scraped your elbow, you know, are you going to put a bandage on it with some Neosporin and allow it to heal itself? Or are you going to keep falling on that same elbow every single day and then get mad at it when it won't stop bleeding? You know,
mm-hmm.
like you have to allow your body time to do what it naturally is supposed to do, which is heal. You know, our bodies are very resilient, but if you constantly beat it up, you know, then you're going to get the opposite effects.
So let me ask you a bit about yoga. And I've had a lot of guests on the program who talked about yoga and the the focus and the meditation involved with yoga, but I know that you posted a blog talking about how there are certain specific poses in yoga that are good for anxiety or depression.
I think yoga, well, standing poses are very helpful for people that have anxiety or mental health issues because, again, it forces you to kind of look, it focuses your attention on something outside of your own problems, outside of your own mind. So, for instance, one of those standing poses could be tree pose. It's a balancing pose. You know, those you have to focus your concentration on really balancing or else you're going to fall, you know. And I've found that it's very beneficial, you know, because, it allows you to focus your attention on something outside of yourself. Now you have a specific goal in front of you. You know, legs up the wall is another pose that's very it's very good for anxiety because it's a relaxing pose. The blood is – you're changing the circulation of the blood in the body, you know, and it's really relaxing. I mean, they do it in restorative classes all over the world, you know. So there are definitely benefits to yoga. I think yoga in itself – you know, is very beneficial in helping with mental health, anxiety, depression, so on and so forth. You know, people are starting to do yoga specifically with people with PTSD. You know, because it's just that good. It's not necessarily just a physical activity, but it reconnects you with your body and it takes you outside of your mind. And I think for anyone who's suffered through mental health, you know, our minds are our they can be our biggest asset or it can be our greatest enemy. And, you know, when we actually have an opportunity to go outside of that and to focus on something outside of our own thoughts, you know, it's very – that in itself is very therapeutic.
Right. And you wrote an article also about why men should do yoga. And, you know, why should men and everybody else do yoga, even if they're doing all kinds of other exercise?
I mean, I think for men specifically, you know, men have an issue with vulnerability. Men look at, a lot of men, I'm not going to say all men, but a lot of men look at vulnerability as weakness. And I look at vulnerability as ultimate strength. You also have a lot of men that are naturally tight in their muscles, you know, so they're at risk for more injury. They're not flexible, right? So because of that inflexibility in your muscles, you know, whenever you get into any kind of, you know, situation where physicality is necessary, you could run the risk of increasing your injuries or getting injured, I should say, even if it's just as simple as running on the treadmill, because the muscle is not elongated. You know, that's the reason why you're not flexible. So I think it's important for men to just do something outside of themselves, outside of the norm. You know, in yoga, you know, in the classes that I've gone to, we never suggest anyone to push themselves. You know, yoga is a great way to find your strengths and also acknowledge your weaknesses and work on those weaknesses until they become strengths without having to push yourself to the level of pain or discomfort. And, you know, I think with men, both physically and mentally, I think that that serves as a great benefit for them, for us.
Right, right, because men tend to have that attitude of no pain, no gain, especially men who like to work out.
Exactly. And there is benefit to not being in pain. You know, in a yoga class, if you're in pain, you're doing something wrong.
Right.
Very wrong. And stop it immediately and never do it again.
Right. There's a difference between discomfort from pushing your muscle, you know, a little bit more strenuously than you have done in the past, and actually a pain that is like damage.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So you mentioned food. Are there things that you recommend that people eat or not eat, especially if they're exercising, in order to be healthier and You know, I know a lot of people, like you said, some people eat whatever they want to eat and then figure that they're exercising, so it's okay. And then you have other people that become so conscious of it that they starve themselves when they're exercising and need the nutrition.
Well, I mean, when it comes to nutrition, it's very simple. I live by a very simple rule. Eat real food, not food like products. So what's real food? Real food is an ingredient. It doesn't have ingredients. Right? So, you know, I'm a big believer in eating real foods, you know, instead of getting, you know, an ice pop that's strawberry flavored, just get the strawberries, you know, instead of buying the smoothie, the green machine smoothie from the refrigerator section of your grocery store, buy the ingredients yourself and make it at home. You know, I think fruits and vegetables are the very foundation of a healthy diet. You know, I think more than what you should eat, it's really the things you shouldn't. You know, don't drink artificial, don't drink beverages with artificial sugars and flavors and colorings. You know, I drink green juice, I drink herbal tea, and I drink water, you know, every day. You know, stay away from sugary foods and processed foods. Stay away from, some people have gluten intolerances. You know, gluten is a protein found in wheat, barley, and rye that a lot of people can't necessarily digest or metabolize properly, you know, and it causes inflammation in the intestines, which can be hell on your digestive system. So, you know, you might have to, you know, if you have some digestive problems, you may have to look into that a little bit. You know, so it's really just being aware of what you're putting into your body and looking at how you feel afterwards. You should not eat and get tired. You should eat and be energized. So So if you're eating lunch and after lunch you're tired and you're sluggish and fatigued and you don't want to do work for the rest of the day, 9 times out of 10, 10 times out of 10, what you just ate is doing you no good. You know, it's not benefiting you in any way. So, you know, I think and breakfast, of course, is the most important meal of the day because it breaks the fast. I think you should allow anywhere from 8 to 12 hours at night, from the night to the morning, for your body to completely digest, you know, the food from the night before you start the next morning, you know, with breakfast. You know, and when you do that, make sure that the breakfast that you eat is setting the tone. The breakfast you eat is setting the tone for your behaviors throughout the day. So make sure you're eating something that's nutrient dense. I wake up in the morning. It's summertime where I am. I wake up in the morning and I eat a watermelon. That's breakfast. Good morning.
Yeah. Because you know, if you're eating something like sugary cereal, for example, you're going to have blood sugar issues throughout the rest of the day, right?
Absolutely. Blood sugar issues, you know, a lot of the those same sugary foods are high in salt, so you're going to have blood pressure issues throughout the day. Your heart's going to be working a lot harder. Your metabolism is going to, you know, be out of control, not in a good way. You know, it's just really going to set the tone for your day. And not in a good way.
Yeah, good advice. So, Quentin, I know you have all sorts of exciting things going on right now, and maybe you can just let the listeners know what they are and how they can find out more about you and be part of all the things that you're doing.
Absolutely. You can follow me everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Quentin Vinny. Definitely go to the website. The website has all of, you know, my articles that I've written, both magazines and online, blogs that, you know, are specific just to my site, and that's QuentinVinny.com. And I think one of the most exciting things that I'm working on right now is a book. I'm working on my first book, through Rodale, which is slated to be released nationwide and in Canada in spring of 2017.
That's
and accompanying.
Exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But in addition to the book, I'm also going to be releasing a mini documentary as well. So,
oh,
you know,
very
I'm gonna,
cool.
Yeah, I'll be giving, you know, the readers a visual perspective to the book as well. Neither can I. those are the two biggest projects that I'm working on. I'm also working with a few organizations in the city of Baltimore, you know, to create mindfulness practices in inner city neighborhoods and underprivileged communities. So those are really, you know, where my main focus is at this point.
That's great. Professionally. That's great. Mm-hmm. And if people want to get your newsletter, right, the Master the Monday, you still have those now?
Yes.
Master Monday?
We're approaching our, I think it's the fifth season of Master Your Monday, and they are available. If you sign up for the newsletter on QuentinVinny.com on my website, you know, you will get them every Monday morning. It's just a nice little inspiration to really just start the day and start your week properly.
Yeah, it's very nice to start the week. So, Quentin,
thank you
so much for coming on the show this evening.
Thank you so much for having me again.
And I'm looking forward to meeting you when I'm in New York and having that long-awaited juice.
Long-awaited green juice, yes.
Yes,
it is going to happen, and I'm looking forward to it as well. Can't wait.
All right. Well, then we'll be in touch, and I'll see you then. And you'll have to come back on the program to let us know more about what's happening in your professional life.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, thank you so much.
You have a good evening.
You do the same.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So stick around. We have lots more after the break. We're just going to take a very quick break, and we'll be right back.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
All right, and we are back. And if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years on blogtalkradio.com and on my website, drmarakarpel.com. And just a little bit of news, like to fill you in every week. We are still getting close to having our Roku station up and running. And if for those new listeners, we have been videotaping the interviews with any of the guests for this program, this radio program, that come in live in the Austin studio. So we have a whole bunch of them that have been edited and ready to go and uploaded to Roku. So we're just waiting for the technical part of it to kick in and to get that all of that uploaded and to go live. And so if you tune in here or check my Facebook page, you'll be able to find out when that that Roku station, which is internet television, goes live and how you can access it. So just keep staying tuned here, and we'll let you know. And I have another Huffington Post blog that is ready to go, so keep your eyes open for that. That will be posted whenever they have room to get it up. They usually post before the end of the month. And again, if you keep checking my Facebook page or my website, you'll be able to see the Huffington Post blog when it does get posted, and you'll be able to read it. And the last one got a lot of good reviews. Dr. Scott Stoll, who I, one of the people who I quoted in that blog, he's the one of the experts in nutrition and a medical doctor using nutrition for health. He ended up reposting that blog, the small steps needed to make life-changing changes in your life-saving changes in your diet, where all the medical doctors who attend his plant-based health conference, international conference. So that was pretty cool. And you can read that blog as well on my Facebook page and on my website. And that's all about food and mood. And there are actually three ways to read my blog. You go to my website and click on blog or click on publications, and you can see all of the blogs I've posted on Huffington Post. You can follow me on Facebook and see when it posts immediately. Or you can go directly to Huffington Post and do a search of my name. And then you'll be able to see all of my blogs. So stay tuned for the next one hitting the Huffington Post before the end of July. And so now I'd like to talk a little bit before Laura Gelizunas joins us from Puerto Vallarta. I'd like to talk a little bit about some ways to increase our self-love right now. And, you know, I've talked about this before, but the topic never gets old, because I think this is a big challenge for most of us humans. We tend to have some difficulty in loving ourselves. I'm not talking about being narcissistic, where we just focus on ourselves and think that we are all wonderful and better than everybody else, because the reality of somebody who has that perspective is that they don't really love themselves. And they're overcompensating for it, because when we really, truly love ourselves, we can see that everybody around us is equally lovable, and they're a reflection of us. So we don't need to top other people or say that we're better than anybody else, because we don't need that. We don't need that kind of putting ourselves on a pedestal, because we already feel pretty good about ourselves and we want to help other people. And in fact, if you are into self-help books about relationships, or you've ever talked to a professional about relationship issues, you know, read articles and magazines, pretty much they all echo the same theme, which is that in order to love someone else really, truly, we have to love ourselves first. So again, self-love doesn't mean that you don't love other people, you only love yourself. It's really the opposite, that in order to really love other people, we have to love ourselves first. But the big challenge, it's easy to say that and tell people, oh, you know, you need to love yourself first before, you know, it's really easy to say that, but it's really a challenge to actually feel that and to actually have self-love. You know, and it's sad that that's the way it is, but that really is the way it is. And I've talked about that before. This issue, and I've written about the issue of how we constantly have negative self-talk, and we put ourselves down. My blog about that one is, you know, Taming the Inner Troll, although I think Facebook, Huffington Post actually renamed it, but it's the Troll blog. You know, there are ways of taming that negative self-talk, but, you know, that wouldn't be such a hot topic if we didn't have negative self-talk. And, you know, if we talk to ourselves negatively all the time, we're not going to love ourselves. And we're also not going to be able to love other people. There's Louise Hay, who wrote many, many books, but I think her most famous book was Heal Your Life, She's the one who does all the self-affirmations, and she's the one who publishes all of those great self-help books by, like, Dr. Wayne Dyer publishes on Hay House, and Michael Neal publishes on Hay House, and even our friend and a friend of the show, Chef Chad Sarno, who co-wrote Crazy Sexy Kitchen with Chris Carr, their book, their vegan, healthy eating, gourmet cookbook was published on Hay House. So Hay House is really about taking care of yourself and taking care of other people. And what Louise Hay said is that if we really love ourselves, everything in our life works. So how do we increase our self-love? What are some ways of doing that pretty quickly? We don't have to go for therapy for years and years in order to start loving ourselves. Well, one really quick way is by treating yourself like you're worthy right now, even if you don't believe it. In psychology, we call that fake it till you make it. If you act as if, then you start to believe it. So this includes taking care of your body with, for example, using some of the tips that Quentin Benny just spoke about a little while ago, eating a healthier diet and exercising and doing things that exercise that you enjoy rather than having it be another chore to feel anxious about, and not overtraining to injure yourself, but really taking care of your body and doing things that make your body feel good and also help your mood. And when we have self-care like that, we start to feel worthy, and it improves our mood at the same time. So, and another part of that, of treating yourself like you're worthy right now, is another favorite topic of mine, is which is following your dreams. So take action to follow your passion and your dreams. And when you do that, you start to feel worthwhile. When you put your dreams on the back burner and constantly only take care of other people, it's great to take care of other people, and many of us don't have a choice. We have to take care of other people, but we also have to take care of ourselves. Because if we don't follow our own passions and dreams, then we don't feel worthwhile. And as I said, well, you know, as Louise Hay is quoted as saying, if we love ourselves, everything in our life works. The opposite is also true. If we don't love ourselves and we don't take care of ourselves and we don't treat ourselves as worthwhile, then everything in our life falls apart. Relationships, our health, our wellness, it all falls apart. So we really do have to start with that. Take care of yourself. Treat yourself like you're worthwhile. Don't put yourself constantly on the back burner. And this will start to improve your mood, improve your health, because you're doing healthier things, and actually increase your feeling of self-love. So that's tip number one. But along with that, that's kind of similar to that, is to do things every day to remind yourself that you're worthwhile. And by that I mean doing things that bring you joy every day, even if it's just small things that you enjoy doing. So Quentin was just talking about that when we start doing exercises that we enjoy, then we get into that and we even look forward to that. So that it can be something that has the dual effect of making us physically healthy, improving our mood in the process, and also helping us feel like we're doing something that we enjoy. And find other things to do that you enjoy. Dancing, which is also good physical exercise, by the way. Listening to music that you enjoy. even if you only have time to listen to one song or one piece of music or have it as a background while you're doing other things, because it makes you feel worthwhile because you're doing something that you enjoy. Read something that you enjoy. Even if you only have time to read a chapter or a page, just doing that helps you feel like you're worthwhile, that you're worth doing something enjoyable for. Take a nap. Walking in nature is very powerful in becoming helping to become inspired. It helps with exercise, getting that exercise, and it helps to connect us to a bigger picture when we walk in nature. And we start to feel more of a part of this universe and not just a little speck. And that feeling that we are connected to the universe helps to improve our self-love. Breathe slowly and relax and try some meditation. That also helps to improve self-love, because when you get better and better at meditation, when you do it daily, I don't mean you better in terms of achieving some goal, but you're used to doing it on a daily basis, your brain starts to change after about 40 days of meditating, even for 5 minutes. And what you start to notice, and this is what my guest Steve Kane talked about a couple of weeks ago when he talked about yoga and meditation, is that when we quiet our mind and we sit still and we go inside and we find a place of peace inside, we discover that that is who we really are. We are peaceful. And we find happiness in that peacefulness, and we realize that we are enough. Everything that we need is right inside of us. We don't have to look outside to find gratification and happiness. It's all inside of us, and that gives us a feeling of self-love. All of the stress and anxiety and everything else are things that are layered on top of that. They come from the outside. But when we go inside, we discover that everything is calm and quiet and peaceful and loving. And again, you know, ironically, going inside and focusing on that actually connects us with the wider universe. And again, increases that feeling of self-love. And then if you do that daily, you make it a daily priority to give yourself the message that you deserve to be treated well, then you start to believe it. And then along with that idea of you deserve to be treated well is make it a point to surround yourself with positive people who love themselves and so therefore treat you well. So they're positive. They don't need to put themselves above you because they feel pretty good and they feel that you're equal to them, and they treat you with love and respect. And there are two ways that this helps us to improve our self-love. One is that humans learn best by observation. And if we observe people who love themselves and who love and respect people around them, we learn how we can do the same thing, and we can also love our people around us. But it also teaches us that we deserve to be treated well, and we don't want to accept poor treatment. And when we give that message that we deserve to be treated well, then it increases our self-love. If you're around somebody who's constantly putting you down or putting other people down or putting themselves down, then it tends to drag us down, and we tend to feel kind of lousy and not so good about ourselves. So surrounding ourselves with people who love themselves and love you helps to increase your own self-love. And it's a way of reducing or eliminating toxins in your life. We talk about eliminating toxins in our diet and not eating sugar and not eating highly processed food with chemicals and fake sweeteners and all of that kind of stuff. But we also want to eliminate toxins in our personal relationships. And when we do that, we feel healthier. Just like when we reduce the toxins in our food, we feel physically healthier. When we reduce the toxins in our environment and people that we spend time with, we feel emotionally healthier, and we're able to experience more feelings of self-love. You know, going back to what I said at the beginning, how we engage in a lot of negative self-talk, and, you know, I don't know why we do that. I think that we are taught that. As we grow up, we hear people making negative comments towards us or about themselves, and we learn, we start to incorporate those into our own mindset, our own psyche. But what's really important now is to turn it off and to turn off that derogatory self-talk. So, you know, one way of helping to reduce that negative chatter is to realize that when we hear those negative things being said in our own voice and our own mind, or we even imagine somebody who used to say them and they're still in our own mind, that those things are not true. Just because we think it doesn't make it true. And we believe a lot of things that are not true. And if it makes us feel bad about ourselves, then it really isn't likely to be true. So we need to have that first awareness that our voice and our mind is not the truth. It's not reality. And just being aware of the things that we're saying to ourselves, and meditation can help with that because it slows down our thinking and it helps us to be more mindful of the types of things that we're saying. We can actually challenge some of those things and say, wait a second, that's not really even logical. You know, that is irrational. Stop listening to the negativity of other people. And again, that has to do with that whole idea of eliminating the toxins in our life. And lastly, treat yourself like you would your own best friend. Would you be so hard on your best friend if they told you about a problem that they had? Would you put them down? Not likely. If they're really your best friend, you would say loving things to them. And we need to start saying loving things to ourselves more frequently. And that is, that's probably the most important thing that we can do to increase our self-love. And lastly, have a sense of humor. And that means even laughing at your own mistakes rather than making a whole huge issue of it, just laughing at it, because we're all human, we all make mistakes, and it's okay. It doesn't make us less lovable. All right, so this is a topic that I'm sure I will really, you know, such an important topic, and it affects not only how we treat ourselves, but how we treat each other in this world. And if we're going to have more peace in this world, we need to be more conscious of how we treat ourselves and how we treat each other. All right, on that note, we're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, Laura Galazunas is reporting in from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, to talk about what the retirees are doing there right now. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
the frigate flying so high now shows a man where to fish. Watch me send it, he lies in his hammock, teaches tourists how to live, and he knows how to live. Hear the thunder high in that mountain, watch the clouds rolling in. Senoritas, they dance on that shoreline, making plans for that kiss, and they know how to kiss. They say that we're 1 hour behind, but the senoritas, they keep us in time. That poppy CT just blows through my mind. It takes me back to my place, Punta Mita time.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel in your golden years. And now joining us from beautiful Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, Laura Gelazunez. How are you this evening?
Hot.
Hot. Did you get in some pool time there to cool off today?
It was even too hot to be at the pool today, believe it or not. I made it an hour.
Okay. It was too hot to even be at the pool. Did you get in the water?
Yeah, I was on my floaty. I felt like a poached egg.
You have to get into the water, Laura, to cool off.
Well, I was getting it. But the water's not exactly cool anymore, so you have to get really hot in order for the water to feel cool again. So.
Oh, the water is hot. Oh, that's kind of like a hot bathtub.
Yeah, kind of like that. So, yeah, a little challenging today. I had to go lay inside under the fan.
Okay. So how's everybody down there cooling off?
Headed to the pool. A lot of people go to the mall, to the movies,
the
produce section at Costco.
That's cool.
Yes. So that's what people do.
So is it busy down there right now? I mean, I know a lot of people, it's a little quieter in the summertime, but you still have those people that are year-round, hardy retirees, and are they busy?
Yeah, people are pretty busy. There's, still plenty of things going on, of course, in Vallarta. It's a little bit of a lull in between your springtime people and then summer people, meaning that, you know, we get a lot of vacationers once school lets out, and pretty much many of the Mexican schools, last week was their last week, or this coming week will be their last week.
Oh, they go pretty late.
Yeah, they go pretty late because they're off almost a month at Christmas time and like 2.5-3 weeks at Easter. So they go almost year-round here. So after this, then they only get like 6 or 7 weeks of summer vacation, and then they're back at it. The school uniforms are already back in the stores, so.
Right. So things get pretty busy when they're on vacation, all the families come to Vallarta.
Exactly. So a lot of people come down. There's still a lot going on. I mean, there's a new group of people who are cleaning up the rivers, so all the trash doesn't get in the ocean and the beach. So we have a new group started up there, and they're doing that in the early morning hours before the heat comes on.
Right.
And, of course, there's all kinds of water activities. There's summer sailing camps at the Vallarta Yacht Club starts next week.
Fun.
Yeah, so there's still lots to do here. I mean, it's just, there's always water sports, especially this time of year, so.
Right, and you still have the Foodie Fridays?
Yeah, we have the Friday Foodies.
Friday Foodies, sorry.
The Friday Foodies.
Your first. Uh-huh.
Yeah, here we are trying to find air-conditioned restaurants, so.
Yeah, that's important.
Not yeah, it
all
is.
Of the
it's
restaurants
really
are air. They're not all
no.
air-conditioned, right?
No, it's kind of hard to air-condition the beach restaurants.
Yeah, a lot of them are open air,
which
is
pretty. It'd be hard. But it's hot.
Pretty, but it's hot.
You know, you can only have the fan on so high when you're eating. It'll blow all your stuff off your plate. So.
Right, right. Okay, but there are some, have you found some air-conditioned restaurants that are pretty good?
Yes, we have, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Things are very good. Yeah, and it's just, a lot of people, I mean, myself included, there's the last thing I want to eat is some kind of heavy meal when it's this hot.
Right.
So trying to eat, you know, just eat. Lighter fare.
Well, this is a good time of the year to start trying out eating a lot of fruits and vegetables as your main course. Right?
Oh, we each ordered two summer rolls apiece, and the waiter's like, "You just ordered four appetizers." We're like, "Yeah, we know."
Uh huh.
But you know, it's the rice paper, and mine had lettuce and jicama and carrots and bean sprouts in it. I didn't get the shrimp in mine, but they got this peanut plum dipping sauce.
Mhm.
And then I got mulata as well. Yeah, because I have to have it spicy.
That sounds very good.
Yeah. Throw the waiters for a loop. No, you can put all eight little pieces on one plate. That's okay.
So, definitely
lighter fare.
Mhm. Mhm. And you get a lot of fruits and vegetables down there that are locally grown, don't you?
Oh, definitely. Right now, there's a run on cantaloupe that is just unbelievably good. You know, where it's actually
mm-hmm.
ripened on the vine, you know, and there's hardly any rind.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it tastes
nice.
Like candy. So I've been eating a lot of cantaloupe and a lot of mangoes because it's mango season.
I was just going to say mangoes. That's real big down there.
I love mangoes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We get probably five or six varieties here. I like the big ones because the pits are too small in the other ones, and, you know, it's a lot of work for, you know, like three or four bites. So I like to buy the really big mangoes.
Mm-hmm.
The Pariso variety is probably my favorite.
Right. Yeah, I was in one spot one time where you could pick the mangoes right off the tree.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple mango trees by my house.
Mm.
But what do they call them? Not scavenger people. I forget what they call them. the people, they pick them when they're still hard and dark green, and they pick all the mangoes off the tree, so they're not even ripe. I need to learn how to do the jackfruit, because jackfruit down here is on every tree in my neighborhood.
Really?
I'm just intimidated about cutting it.
Those are funny-looking fruits.
Yeah, they have a really hard, but they say that they're really hard to cut, and they're really sticky or something.
Mm-hmm,
and you
got to
put oil
mm-hmm.
on your knife, and you got to put oil on the cutting board, and all this.
Wow.
I mean, it just sounds like a really big production, which I'm really not all that interested in doing. But it's supposed to be really good.
They taste really good in smoothies. Yeah.
Well, you know what? If anything,
the ones that we get here in Texas are from Mexico, so they're probably growing right across the street from you.
Yeah, there's huge trees, and nobody picks them, and they get
mm-hmm.
bigger than footballs. You know, I've read up on them, but, you know, it sounds like a lot of production to cut the...
Yeah.
They make pulled jackfruit sandwiches. It's supposed to taste like pork.
Really?
I don't know about it. Yeah, I don't know about all that. Maybe it's a texture thing. Yeah, if you get them when they're unripe, they're not sweet. If you wait until they're ripe, then it's too sweet to do that. There's like a whole thing.
Okay.
You can Google. I Google everything. So. Yeah,
right.
But they get so big, and I'm like, how in the heck do I cut that? A chainsaw or what? Because the outside is really hard.
So do they serve a lot of jackfruit in the restaurants there?
You know, no, they don't. There's a new vegan restaurant that is serving pulled jackfruit sandwiches. So, and it just opened on Friday, so hopefully I'll be headed there soon, maybe one day next week or something.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. And are all the charities still busy with the, you know, spaying and neutering pets?
Yep,
and
the peace animals,
rescue.
We go almost year-round now, so that's all excellent news.
Mm-hmm.
I forget how many we did last week. I could pull up Gretchen's newsletter. I haven't done that yet.
Mm-hmm.
She writes up a little newsletter, gives us the scoop. So we go almost year round.
Okay.
So, and I've been involved with Peace Animals over 10 years.
Wow.
So we go to a different neighborhood, our colonia as they're called in Mexico, every week, and we do between 100 and 140 animals per week.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah. We used to have to go around canvassing the neighborhood, begging people to let us spay or neuter their cat or dog, and now they're lined up outside. So there's been a big change in the last 12 years.
So
people are definitely getting it.
And, you know, we just had a wellness coach on the program, Quentin Denny. We were talking about yoga. Are people doing yoga there in the summertime, too? Are those classes still going on?
I believe there are still some classes in the mornings, and there are quite a few yoga studios in town as well. So it's a matter of finding the teacher you want, you know, the teacher that you... you know, want to, some of them are more pretzel twisty than others.
So,
you can't, if I get my legs in that inverted thing, you'd never get my knees unbent. I would be there on the floor.
And one more question. Is it still a good time for people to come and look for places for high season, for the winter?
Yes, it is now. Actually, is probably one of the best times, because a lot of the places you cannot see during high season because they're rented. You know, if they're a rental property, you know, a lot of people who are on vacation, no, I really don't want people traipsing through here. So now's a good time to, check out places.
And you can help people who are looking to buy, right?
That would be correct. If they're looking to make a purchase or if they have questions about real estate, I can help them with that. And I have a new website.
What's that? What's your website?
It's this long URL. It is called Puerto Vallarta Condos For Sale .com.
Puerto
and you type
Vallarta
out the four condos.
Condos. And you type out the whole word.
You type out four, F-O-R. ForSale.com.
Okay.
Long URL, but it does have all my keywords in it.
Okay.
And videos about Puerto Vallarta, including my real estate vlog, can be found. There's a link from TVPuertoVallarta.com.
All right. TVPuertoVallarta.com.
And that's just basically a landing page, and you click the YouTube graphic, and that'll take you right to my YouTube channel. And I have 221 videos.
Great.
Including the latest real estate vlog, which is about the condo cartel.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Condos have a lot of rules now.
Okay. And if people want to find out what's happening in Vallarta or the surrounding area, where can they go?
They can go to banderasnews.com. That's BANDERASnews.com.
All right.
And has all the latest news and events and anything else you want to know about Puerto Vallarta and Mexico.
Okay. And all of those links will be posted on my web post about this show later tonight.
Awesome.
So thank you, Laura. Enjoy the weather there, I guess.
I'm curling up with a good book in my air-conditioned bedroom tonight, so.
That sounds good.
Even my dogs wait outside for the bedroom to cool off.
Okay. Well, talk to you in 2 weeks.
Perfect.
All right. You take care now.
You as well.
All right, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So stick around. Coming up after the break, and actually during the break, we're going to play some of his music. Jazz saxophonist Paul Klemperer is back to talk to us about his music. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
call it the clave, they call it the swan. They call it the jangling and bump de bomb. Some folks say it's a bow diddly beat. It really gets around because it goes so deep. Make you want to clap your hands. Or maybe you just want to get a bandana. Until my day is done.
Right, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years. And now joining us from right here in Austin, Texas, once again, musician and jazz saxophone player Paul Klemperer. And we were just
talking
about his music.
Dr. Mara.
Hi. Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk with you again. It's been a busy year already.
Really? What's been going on?
Well, let's see. I made a little list here so I wouldn't lose track. But the main thing was that my parents were living with me for the winter. They came down from the Boston area to avoid all the cold and spent the winter and spring with me. And I'd been working on some songs anyway, but they kind of inspired me to write a few. And so the songs a couple of those were inspired by their visit. And,
very nice.
They're kind of the root side of the music that I've been working on. That one that you just played was called Go So Deep.
And, yeah.
I actually wrote that last
year.
Yeah, I wrote that last year, and it's really just about the clave rhythm and how deep that is in so much of music, and traces back to Latin America and Africa, but it's really deep in a lot of music around the world. And this theory is about the clave being sort of a fundamental pulse that organizes sound for the human brain and all kinds of good stuff like that. But I don't go into that in the lyrics. I keep it kind of more rootsy. But,
right.
But there's a lot of kind of New Orleans roots flavor in that. And so that's what that song is about.
And are you the last time you were on the program, you announced a benefit concert that you were giving at Kick Butt Coffee here in Austin.
Yeah.
I went and saw you.
That's
right. Are you still playing that regularly? I really enjoyed that
yes,
program,
I have a good relationship with them. Kick Butt Coffee is a great little coffee house in Austin that expanded and actually has a nice stage. So it can hold about 150 people now. So I do my Festivus show every year.
Right, that's what it was.
And, you know, during
it was
the festive season, you know, which happens to coincide with Christmas and everything. But so we'll be doing it again, definitely. That'll be the fifth annual one this year, and I'm glad you could make that one. It was fun.
Yeah. Now, do you still play there regularly?
I
every
do,
month?
And that was one of the things that's on my list. What I've been doing for the last 7 years is hosting a jazz jam there the first Tuesday of the month. And the philosophy behind the jam was to be inclusive of all levels of players as from the beginning of it all, so that we have some really great players that come in and some high level of playing, but we also encourage beginners and people that are coming in from other styles of music and they're trying to get into jazz, because it can be kind of daunting. Jazz can be very complex and demanding, and a lot of people that play music are afraid to sort of, you know, try to get in there, try to include jazz in their technique. I feel like it's like either, you know, sort of an all or nothing thing, and I try to make it much more welcoming. There's definitely jams that are for, you know, showing your expertise, but then there's this jam is about including all levels of players and showing the history of the music in the performance and making the learning experience enjoyable, not so daunting. And it's been going really well. And what I've been trying to do is expand the jam into a larger sort of set of projects that are about music education and get grant funding to help, support that. But one of the exciting things kind of coming out of the jam is I was asked to contribute an article to this volume on music education. And the point of my article is about music mentoring and the role of things like jam sessions and face-to-face learning moments between teachers and students that, you know, expand out of the classroom and expand the musical learning experience to more than just a classroom setting. And it was actually kind of was good for me because it kind of kicked me in the butt. I used to belong to the Society for Ethnomusicology when I was doing my master's degree in ethnomusicology over at UT, and of course got into the rock and roll world and left that by the wayside, but I'm getting back into it. So I'm actually going to take that to the Society for Ethnomusicology conference in the fall. They're going to have a panel on music pedagogy, and I'm going to bring some of these examples from the jam session to the panel and talk about music mentoring and the role of community organizations and community events that can supplement classroom education. So kind of tying all that together. And I've just learned from doing that jam for 7 years that it can really be a very ongoing and spontaneous, but very kind of fundamental and continuous way to have music education sort of in a community setting that supplements the classroom. So in my own geeky way, that's been exciting.
Okay.
And plus you get to have a drink while you're playing. So.
Right. And are you playing, I know you had another night that you were doing a kick butt coffee. Do you still do that as well?
Yeah. Well, that's part of it. We expanded the jazz jam to the first and second Tuesday of the month. And the second Tuesday is a specifically traditional jazz approach in which we explore pre-bebop styles, which is jazz before the 1940s. And that can be very inclusive, but it's not sort of later modern jazz sound. It's more swing, Dixieland, early blues, ragtime, and related styles. And I wanted to do that because so many jazz students, they really cut their teeth on jazz in an academic environment, and it's very textbook. And they'll pay lip service to the earlier styles, but they really focus on bebop and the modern sound as being the pedagogical sort of heart of the matter. And I think that, well, not me alone, but I think a lot of jazz musicians feel like it's important to really have a sense of the traditions and how earlier styles not only feed into the later styles, but they're still there. They're still source materials for the later styles. And there's a tendency when you teach to divide things up into historical periods as if they're separate from each other, when it's, I think it's true in life in general, but specifically in music, that these traditions, the different styles all fit together fluidly in the traditions. And you can't really understand a modern player without understanding the earlier styles. It's embedded.
Right.
In music. That sounds very theoretical, but you can really hear it if you listen to it. And so that is what we try to bring out in the second jam is the listening for the earlier stuff and making that part of their musical bag of tricks. And that's a lot of fun too. And one of the best parts of that is that older players who's, you know, they really stick to more of a traditional jazz style like swing, Dixieland, and they come out, they'd be in their 60s or 80s, and they'll get to play with, you know, kids middle school and high school age. and you really directly get this passing of knowledge from the older generation to the younger generation.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
it's good when these moments when it really happens, you go, oh, that's what it's all about.
And yeah.
So just kind of create that context where that can happen.
Right. Well, Paul, before we go on and talk about what else you're doing, we're going to play another one of your songs that you sent us.
Okay.
You sent us Mind Your Mother.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't need much explanation. It was inspired by my mother. it's kind of a swing blues. Just a fun song.
Okay. Well, we're going to play that right now, and don't go anywhere because we'll come back and talk a little more.
Okay.
All right. All right. So that was Paul Klemperer, Mind Your Mother.
Yep. Yeah, that's a popping little tune. I wanted to say about that also, that was while my folks were staying with me over the winter, but I had the opportunity to get some musicians that I love to play with, but we're always so busy it's hard to coordinate. And I was lucky to get them all at once. And that was Nick Connolly on the piano, Brian Gould on the bass, and Wayne Duncan on the drums. And they all play in a lot of the swing and blues and the more traditional roots music groups here in town in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of the goal, was to get those guys together and do some of that more traditional stuff.
Is that recorded on a new CD?
Well, I don't know if CDs, you know, we're in the 21st century, and
all
the blogs I read tell me CDs are passe.
Okay.
So it could be a CD. It may just be like a plug that you stick into the side of your head, you know, by next year. It'll like USB port, going to Apple, and they stick a USB port into the side of your head.
I guess the question is there a way for people to buy that music that you just recorded?
Yeah, there definitely will be. Yeah. Still all about the money, right? So the question is whether to have a product that's a CD with like 10 or 12 tracks, or whether to have individual tracks that you just download. And I will have them available on the internet through my website, pksax.com. And then I have a lot of my recordings are on CD Baby, which is a kind of a musical clearinghouse, one-stop shopping. And you can do digital downloads by the song there, or you can buy CDs and whatever else. We're going to, you know, soon it's going to be, you have to have a video that goes with each song. So that's going to be the next thing. So I'm working on that to like be able to produce a video to go with each song.
Okay.
Different formats. Like I said, it's kind of crazy. But I think I am going to put out a CD sometime this year, which is going to be kind of an anthology of various compositions of all the original compositions, but a variety of styles. So that should be available later this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the details will be on my website, pksax.com.
Okay. And on your website, are there also details about where you're playing and when you're playing? Do you
mm-hmm.
have a calendar?
Yep. I have a calendar. Always fix it or repair daily, as I used to say about Ford. But you always have to change the widgets, and you know. But the calendar is there in some format or other, and you can find out. And I do a weekly show every Wednesday here in town at a great club called the Skylark Lounge. It's my neighborhood bar, and so I recommend that
mm-hmm.
if you're in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be going up to New England in August, and I'll have some shows up in there too. And
what part of New England?
Well,
Boston,
New Hampshire, and Western Massachusetts.
Very nice.
So I'll have that listed on the website too.
Okay.
And
great.
What else? Yeah.
Well, we're going to play one more of your songs on our way off the program tonight. So
okay.
After we stop talking and I let everybody know what's happening next week, we're going to play the song, The Vanishing Moon.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you the backstory on that
yes.
one?
Yes. So before we go, please do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the other side of both of my parents are retired scientists. And so they're always talking science. And, of course, I ran away from home to join the circus become a musician. But I do like to talk about science, even though I don't understand what they're talking about. But the song, the inspiration came from this conversation with my father about the moon. We think of it as a sort of eternal object, you know, in the heavens, but it's actually vanishing in two ways. The moon is losing mass, and I'm not sure if my dad was talking about that it's losing mass because it doesn't have atmosphere and something like that. But also its orbit is decaying, and it's moving further from the Earth. By like an inch or two every year or something like that. So if we live to be like, you know, a million years old, it would look much farther away. So anyway, I just thought, I haven't written the lyrics for this song yet, but I thought it'd be fun and very, you know, sarcastic or sardonic to write lyric, because the moon is always used in old love songs. The moon June thing, you know, my love is as eternal as the moon, blah, blah, blah. And then this song would be about, you know, the moon is changing. It's like vanishing. So, you know, love me
right.
while you can. we don't have all day here. Something like that.
Okay.
So anyway, that's
all
the
right.
backstory on that one.
All right. And we're going to play that on the way out.
Okay.
So,
is there anything more to talk
right.
about? I got to tell you about, but I'm putting more stuff on the website.
Okay.
Articles.
So, people can really find out all of that if they go to pksax.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Austin is great. We've got all this world music going on, a bunch of world music projects and all kinds of educational projects coming
Excellent.
Up. So I'll list
Excellent.
All that on the website.
Okay, great. And I'll put the link to your website on my post tonight so people can just
great.
Click on it.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for coming back on the program.
Always.
Well,
and thanks for coming out to my gigs in town.
Yes. And we'll have to come out to another one soon.
Okay. We'll see you on the dance floor.
All right. Okay. You have a good night.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thanks. Bye. All right. So before we go off the air, before we play that song, let me let you all know what's happening next week. We'll be back here Sunday, July 17th, live at 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And we will have another regular guest on this program, the national speaker on wellness, prevention of disease, and keep an author of Fearless, My Journey That Healed Breast Cancer and My Life Through Faith, Food, and Fun. And she also wrote My Bodacious Healing Kitchen. Venus DeMarco will be joining us from Florida to discuss how we can stay healthy with food and more. And also veteran First Sergeant Will Williams will be back once again to talk about how, this time a little bit different discussion, he's going to talk about how to have a good relationship with law enforcement here in Texas. And this is a very important topic for all of us, given all of the latest news. So he will have some tips for us. And our guest artist will be a group of filmmakers, Where is the Horse, who will call in from Quebec, Canada, to talk about their filmmaking that takes them around the world and more. And if you want to hear tonight's program again or read the information, get the website link that we talked about on the show, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And you can also follow me on Facebook, where it'll be posted, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And you can also read my Huffington Post blogs at both of those places. And you can hear this evening's program again in 5 minutes just by going directly to blogblogtalkradio.com. And this evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere, by Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guests, Quentin Denny, Paul Klemperer, Laura Gelazunis, and of course, thank you, Art. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night, Byron Week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.